Okay, we're continuing our study in the Shorter Catechism, considering the fourth commandment. Fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. In question 58, what is required in the fourth commandment? The answer begins, the fourth commandment requireth the keeping holy to God such set times as he hath appointed in his word. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 12 says, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Now, the keeping of something means to carefully guard it, to protect it, and to keep it from wasting away or in any way being soiled or, in this case, profaned. Keeping holy means do not use it in a profane way. And profanity is where you take holy things and you use them for common use, or you take common things and bring them into holy things. So that's the idea of profanus. Now, sanctification means to treat something as holy, to regard it as holy, to do the things that are holy within it. So the Sabbath day is to be kept holy to God. And that meaning the time is devoted to God himself, his interests, his kingdom, his truth, his labors, his word, his knowledge. That's what it means to keep something holy to God, is to devote it to him, set it aside for him. And then the answer goes on there and talks about such set times. Leviticus 19, 2 and 3 says, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel and say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. So notice there, God says his Sabbaths. And there are two ways that you could take this. Sometimes in Hebrew, the singular will be used for plural. So, for example, in our Genesis 6 passage today, it said that the wickedness of man was great. That's singular, but it's actually referring to men in the plural. And it's a figure of speech by which a singular is used for the plural. And it's meant to say man, all of mankind virtually, as in if they were, as if they were one person, in other words. But other times, the Bible will use the plural to describe a singular. So it could be that God is saying, keep my Sabbaths, meaning that one singular, important, special day that I have set aside, one day out of seven, a proportion of your time. That's what it could mean. On the other hand, it could mean that all of the Sabbaths that God appointed, not just the one that he built at creation, but also any other times that he appoints for his people. And I think that's what it's getting at here when it refers to keeping his Sabbaths. That he's saying, I have the right to appoint times. And just like you respect your parents, you have to respect my appointments as well, the times that I set aside. And that would be such set times as he hath appointed in his word. Now in Leviticus 23, we read about some of those Sabbaths. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 2 says, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. After that, he then lists the three major feasts. After doing the Sabbath on a regular basis, the weekly Sabbath, he then goes into these three annual feasts that he gave uniquely to Israel. In verse 24, he says, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets and holy convocation. So here he's describing not the weekly Sabbath, but his appointment of another time that he set aside for them, specifically in the seventh month, to blow the trumpets. And I believe this is a reference to the day, the Feast of Trumpets, and then they would have the Day of Atonement after that, during the seventh month, or what we would call September or October. But in any case, notice there's a holy convocation. That's where people, kon is together, and vocare means to call. So a convocation is where you call people together. It's the same idea as ecclesia or church, which is where you call people out and gather them together. So the feasts that God appointed for Israel, in addition to the weekly Sabbath, are also called Sabbaths. He refers specifically to the blowing of trumpets on the seventh month, the first day of the month. That was the Sabbath to them. So this is another time that God appointed in his word specifically for Israel, not binding all men at all times, but binding them certainly at that time. Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. Our Lord said unto them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." So here notice a couple of things. It's saying that God in his word has appointed the Sabbath. He, in fact, it says here, he made the Sabbath. He designed it. He created it. He established it. It came into being by an act of his sovereign will, by which he said, "This thing I will make." Now, it is a holy time. When it says there that it was made for man, it doesn't mean it was made for man to be idle, or for man to pursue his own interests, or for man to sleep all day, to seek his own physical rest. But what it means by that is that the Sabbath was made for man so that he could be freed up from all the other things in his life to focus his attention exclusively or primarily on God. That's the goal. It's to be holy unto God, and that benefits man. When the Pharisees introduced all kinds of additional legislation that God had never introduced, what they're doing is they're distracting the attention from God, and they're putting the attention on man. That was the problem. So people aren't keeping the Sabbath holy unto God in the Pharisaical system. They're keeping it holy unto their own observation. So the focus becomes on their laws, on their regulations, on the traditions of the elders, rather than saying, no, God made us free from our own labors and our own pleasures so that we could pursue his labors and his pleasures. That's how it was made for man, to be a blessing to us in our communion with God. Also, just one other note, Leviticus 19, 2 and 3, where it talks about, especially verse 3, "Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths." It's important to recognize some of our theologians, I think, have correctly pointed out that the Sabbath is like a bridge between both tables of the law. So you have the first table of the law, worship only God, worship in the way he's spoken, worship with an attitude of reverence and awe. And then you have the Sabbath, which is the time he appoints for his worship. Then on the second table of the law, you have honor your father and your mother. You have the respect for others' life, thou shalt not kill. Respect for chastity and marriage, thou shalt not commit adultery. Respect for property, thou shalt not steal. The respect for people's reputation, thou shalt not bear false witness. And then the respect for everybody else's goods internally, thou shalt not covet. So the Sabbath is like a bridge that gaps between the two. In fact, they would call it the keeper of both tables. If you don't have the Sabbath, you don't have the first table, because you can't worship God if you don't appoint a time for it. You can't worship in God's means if you don't do it on his day. And you can't say that you respect God if you won't even take the time to keep it holy unto him. But then also you see Leviticus 19 joins together honoring your parents and keeping the Sabbath, because the two go hand in hand. So the Sabbath day is a means by which people can cultivate their respect for their parents, their love for their neighbor, their commitment to chastity, the desire to keep others' good name and their property as special for them. The Sabbath reminds us on a weekly and rotational basis of the desire that God has for our holiness and the duty that we owe to Him in light of His salvation. All these things God intends to remind us of on the Sabbath day. Therefore, if we neglect, despise, or cast out the Sabbath, guess what kind of society we end up having? The kind we have right now. The kind without rest and respect for God. The kind without the rest and respect for our neighbor that we learn on the Sabbath day. So God's right, and the Sabbath is extremely important. There were some studies done years ago, late 1800s, early 1900s, where they would look at people who were on death row awaiting their execution. This is when they used to put people to death for capital crimes. And they would interview them to try to figure out what was it that started their career of crime. And in upwards of 90% of the death row sentenced people in the late 1800s, they identified themselves that breaking the Sabbath was their first step toward a life of crime, because they didn't respect the holy day of God, and therefore, as they went out into their lives, they didn't have respect for anything else. You don't fear God, you don't honor men. And so the Sabbath is like that keeper of both tables of the law. In any case, just a sidelight there, point number two, the fourth commandment requireth the keeping holy to God such set times as He hath appointed in His word expressly, one whole day in seven, to be a holy Sabbath to Himself. Isaiah 58, verse 13. The Lord says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words. And then the Lord goes on to promise a blessing to feed us with the heritage of Jacob our father if we do this. But notice there, keep your foot from the Sabbath. And the foot idea could be pressing it down with your foot, suppressing the Sabbath, in other words, not entering into God's requirements and the blessings of it, but rather suppressing that day. Many people will do that. And he identifies, how is it the people tread on the Sabbath? Well, they do their own pleasure. Rather than calling the day a delight, the honorable of the Lord, the holy day of the Lord, honoring God, they do their own ways. They find their own pleasures. They speak their own words. All this is a putting of a foot upon the Sabbath, suppressing the Sabbath to the right that it has. But notice, he says, it's my holy day. It's not days, it's a day, it's a singular day. One whole day in seven. And notice, it's a holy Sabbath, my holy day, and call it a delight. So here we see the nature of the Sabbath, that it's a holy day, not merely from labors, but also from pleasures. We're not to seek after what pleases us, in other words. We're to seek after what pleases God. Augustine, in his treatment of the Lord's Day, said that if you hunt on the Lord's Day, it's a devilish activity, because you're out pursuing your own things when you ought to be pursuing the knowledge of God. And the church fathers pointed out that the Jews profane the Sabbath by dancing and doing their own things. They said the Sabbath was given as a day for the knowledge of God, not for your dances or your hunting or your recreations and your seeking after your own things. That's not holy. That's self-seeking. That's self-pleasing. That's self-renewal. So if we treat the Sabbath like a day to play video games, to read our brain candy books that have nothing to do with the Lord, if we use it as a day to rest in and sleep, you know, sleep in to all hours. We're finding our own pleasure. We're seeking after our own things. And consequently, we're not treating it like a holy day. We're treating it rather as an irksome thing, not as a delight, something that troubles us, that hurts to do, rather than a delight. But God says, if you have the mentality that God inculcates by His Holy Spirit and through the Scriptures, you would say, I wish I had a day that I didn't have to do my other business and seek my own other pleasures. I wish I had a day that I could just focus on God and His Word. Guess what? God gave you that. It's called the Sabbath. And for those enlightened by the Spirit, it's actually a delight. It's a day, a holy day, devoted to God. It's an honorable day, meaning it's to be respected above all the days. It's the queen of the days, the best of the days. And by honoring the Sabbath, you're actually honoring Him. Did you see that there? And shall honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. So using the Sabbath as a means to bless God and to honor Him by recognizing its sanctity, that is what is good for man. That is what is a blessing to man. That's why God made it. It is a holy day. Okay, Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2, a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Now notice there, the Sabbath day is the context for this psalm. How much of the Sabbath is he going to devote to God? Part of it? A few hours of it? Half a day? No, he's going to go morning and evening. He's going to recognize that the entirety of the day is set aside for both public and private worship. That it's a day set aside so that we can be free to show forth the loving kindness and faithfulness of God. This would be in the singing of His praise. But in any case, the whole day, not just a portion of the day. Matthew chapter 24, verses 20 and 21. Our Lord says, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation. Why is it that the disciples would want to pray, Lord, please make it so that my flight from Jerusalem does not occur on the Sabbath day or in winter? Well, he explains, great tribulation, great troubles, great suffering, great sorrows. If you have winter time and you're trying to get out of Jerusalem with all the tribulations, it's going to add all kinds of trouble to your ability to travel. Because of physical, you might say, not impossibilities, but additional difficulties. You're going to be slipping in mud. You're going to have trouble if you want to ride an animal. They might get stuck in the mud. You yourself, there could be landslides. There could be all kinds of troubles in the wintertime. It could be cold, you might get sick, you might die of frost, whatever. Different things can happen, even in a Mediterranean climate like that, that could make it very difficult to travel in the wintertime. What is it about the Sabbath that would make it difficult for believers so that they should pray, Lord, please make it so I don't have to leave Jerusalem on the Sabbath day? What is it? Well, it's obvious. It's a holy day. Who wants to be traveling on the Sabbath? Who wants to be under distress and being forced to flee? So he actually instructs them to pray that God in His providence would make it so that they did not have to travel and flee. That's what a flight is, not an airplane up in the sky. It's when you're running away from danger. That's what flight is. We don't want danger and flight on the Sabbath. So we should pray that God would keep our Sabbaths from being disturbed by these kinds of troubles. And so he's teaching his disciples to pray that because it's a holy day devoted to God for our blessing and for the glory of God, and therefore we ought to keep it holy in that same way. Now it's interesting, these two men, Mr. Palmer and Caudry, they wrote a book called Sabbatum Redivivum, which means the revived Sabbath. And they say, concerning the Lord's Day, if but a part, then it is not a day, but part of a day. And we must not call it the Lord's day, but the Lord's part of a day, or half holy day. And this is in response to people who say, well, Sunday, which we shouldn't call it, but they would call it Sunday is a day for just, you know, go to church and then spend time with your family. No. Sunday, first of all, is a pagan word, so we ought not to use it concerning the Lord's holy day. It's the Lord's day. And if it's his day, and we give him a little tiny portion of it, and then say, I'm done, we're basically saying it's not your day. We're saying it's, you know, maybe it's the Lord's hour and a half. That's what he gets. He gets an hour and a half of my time, and that's it. But it's the Lord's day, and therefore it ought to be used in the public worship of God and in the private worship of God. Now there are other things, because the Sabbath is the keeper of both tables, there are works of mercy that can happen on the Sabbath day. Our Lord discusses this throughout the Gospels. He teaches his disciples the proper way to think about the Sabbath. There are works where we help someone who is in need. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And then there are works of piety, which is where ministers, or in their day they had priests who would serve in the temple on the Sabbath day. The priests actually had extra work on the Sabbath day, because every morning they would offer a sacrifice, and every night they would offer a sacrifice. And then on the Sabbath they had to offer two in the morning and two at night. So God doubled their workload in terms of their sacrifices on their Sabbath. So it wasn't about being idle, it was about worshiping God and learning his ways and doing his will. So there are works of charity or mercy, there are works of piety, and then there are works of necessity. People need to, for example, eat. So you see the disciples are taking corn and they're, or what we would call wheat, and they're taking the wheat berries off and they're making a meal for themselves as they go along on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees find fault with it. So it is the Lord's day, it is a holy day, but God in his mercy recognizes that we still have needs as humans, we still have things that come up, we still have people suffering, and we can go. The Sabbath is, Isaiah talks about it as a day in which you reconcile those who are at odds with each other. It's a day for releasing of captives, of releasing the bonds of people. So it's a day in which we can do good. It's not a day that, oh, well, I wish I could help you, but, you know, it's the Sabbath. Sorry, you'll have to come back tomorrow. No, if someone has an urgent need, not self-imposed necessity, like if I'm an idiot and I don't plan, and then I say, oh, well, I have to work on the Sabbath because I didn't plan properly, that's me sinning against God by being irresponsible, as opposed to God imposing in his providence a thing in front of you and your car breaks down and you have no choice. That's different from a person who never gets an oil change, never takes care of their car. Oh, my car broke down. Sorry, I can't come to church. Well, that doesn't fly. You have to use wisdom and discretion, because we want to keep the day holy. We want to use it for the Lord's glory. And we want to have that time as a special time for the Lord himself, and also for our own blessing, since the Lord designed the Sabbath for our good. All right, thus far in the explanation of question 57 and question 58.